Brutal Brulee, Lexi Baker Cozy Mystery Series, Book 11. Written by Leanne Dobbs. Chapter 1. Lexi Baker Perillo aimed the blue flame at the sugar crystals sitting on the creamy surface of the custard. Poof! The flame whooshed out for the third time in a row. Lexi straightened and let out a sigh. She couldn't figure out why the flame wouldn't stay lit. Maybe the ghost of Wellington Mance really was blowing it out. She moved the baking sheet with its rows of custard-filled ramekins away from the window, the more likely cause of the flame going out. The windows and doors in the old mansion weren't very tight, and the building was drafty. She probably should have picked a different dessert. But her grandmother's dear friend, Violet Rutherford, wanted creme brulee, and Lexi was nothing if not accommodating. It was a blessing and a curse. A blessing because her willingness to accommodate her customers had made her bakery very popular. And a curse because she couldn't say no, which was how she'd ended up catering this selective event at Violet's new bed and breakfast in the first place. Lexi had a special relationship with her grandmother, Mona Baker, whom she referred to as Nans. She'd do anything for Nans. So when Nans asked her to come to the old mansion that Violet had recently purchased to convert into a bed and breakfast, to make the desserts for the weekend, Lexi's accommodating nature had made it impossible to refuse. It was an easy job that paid well. She didn't have to cook all the food, just make desserts and a few breakfast pastries. It barely took a few hours every day, and the rest of the time, she got to relax with her homicide detective husband, Jack, and her dog, Sprinkles. The vast estate was nestled in the mountains of Vermont, so they'd had plenty of time to stroll the magnificent gardens and watch Sprinkles zip around on the lush green lawn.
Meow.
Houdini, the house cat, rubbed his face against the corner of the stainless steel freezer, a new addition to the former residential kitchen that Violet had recently had retrofitted for the more commercial use of a bed and breakfast. Shoo! Lexi waved her hands at the jet-black cat. Cats had no place in a kitchen, and it wouldn't do to have little black hairs in her creme brulee. Not that Lexi had anything against cats. She liked them well enough, although Sprinkles seemed to have another opinion. Sprinkles and Houdini had gotten off on the wrong foot when Sprinkles had darted toward the cat during their introduction, sending the cat into a hissing, clawing rage. Lexi thought Sprinkles just wanted to play, but apparently Houdini was not in the mood. Since then, Lexi had tried to make sure Sprinkles kept her distance. Luckily, they didn't cross paths often, even though sometimes it was unavoidable, as the aptly named cat had a habit of appearing out of nowhere like he had done just now. Earlier that day, Lexi had sworn she'd seen the cat at the top of the stairs, only to find him in the conservatory a few minutes later. But such was the way of cats. They were furtive and sneaky, not predictable like dogs. Lexi bent over the custard and tried again. This time, the flame stayed lit. "Lovely, lovely," Violet floated in on a cloud of gardenia-scented lavender and gray chiffon. "That will certainly impress the guests." Lexi was warmed by Violet's enthusiasm. She'd been incredibly complimentary of all of the scones Lexi had made for breakfast and tea cake she'd supplied at noon. Lexi had to admit it was good for her ego, especially since she rarely made creme brulee, which was why she'd snuck off into the kitchen to practice her technique in the middle of the afternoon before she had to do it for real after supper. "Thanks. I just hope it stays lit, so I can get through the whole tray." Lexi pointed toward the rows of white ramekins. Oh, is our ghost blowing the flame out? Violet winked at Lexi. That might be something to put in the documentary. A real ghost would be good for business.
Not if it steals people's jewelry, Nan said from the doorway.
The two women laughed at Nan's reference to the old story of a ghost haunting the 35-room mansion. According to the tale, a valuable antique tiara loaded with gemstones had been stolen from a European princess who had been staying at the mansion 25 years ago. Neither the thief nor the tiara had ever been recovered. The press had had a field day with the case, dubbing the perpetrator the Ghost of Wellington Mance. When the owner of the mansion had died mysteriously 2 months later, it added fuel to the media fire. The publicity eventually died down, but no one wanted to buy the house, and it sat abandoned for 25 years, then finally went into foreclosure. Violet had purchased it from the bank at a discount due to its dilapidated condition, and she'd been working on restoring it piece by piece. When Violet had learned that the eccentric producer Leonard Battaccio was planning on doing a documentary about the ghost legend, she saw her chance for free advertising and invited the production crew to come stay at the mansion, even though the renovations were not yet complete. They'd arrived just that morning in a flurry of suitcases and filming equipment. That's why she wanted Lexi to bring in her special dessert expertise. Violet already had a head chef, but hadn't had time to interview dessert chefs yet. She figured it was in her best interest to have everyone raving about the great food they were served during filming, and she wanted the desserts to be top-notch.
There won't be a repeat of that on my watch, Violet said. I have a new security system being installed as we speak.
Nan's green eyes sparkled.
Really? You can spy on your guests in their rooms?
No, that would be crass, Mona.
Violet rolled her eyes. But I can see who is coming and going from the kitchen, library, and stairway. No one can get in or out without me knowing.
Not even a ghost?
Leonard Battaccio swept in from the screen door that led to the herb garden. He was a tall, thin man in his mid-70s. He had the energy of a teenager, but dressed like he'd just stepped out of the 1970s. Tonight, he was wearing a navy blue suit with a wide red and gray striped tie. He held his wrist up, and Lexi noticed a line of blood. Violet grabbed his hand, her forehead creasing as she pushed up his diamond cuff-linked sleeve to reveal 4 thin lines on his wrist. Lexi watched as angry dots of blood formed along them.
I was out in the garden looking at your basil, and that vile creature of yours scratched me.
Houdini?
Violet seemed genuinely perplexed.
Why, he's such a dear, he wouldn't harm a fly. Are you sure it wasn't just a thorn from one of the rose bushes?
Leonard snorted.
No, look at the scratches. They match the size of a cat's claws.
Lexi looked. They were exactly the right width and distance to match the razor-sharp claws of a cat. She turned toward Houdini, who blinked a golden eye at her.
Well, no matter. Let me get you fixed up.
Violet dragged Leonard over to the sink and turned on the water.
Are you sure the ghost didn't scare him?
Violet winked at Nan's over Leonard's shoulder. Leonard watched her run his wrist under the water, a gleam forming in his eye.
Ah, that would be an interesting angle. Cats would certainly see ghosts before people.
No doubt.
Violet twisted around, her eye falling on one of the maids who helped clean rooms and serve meals.
Oh, Karen, can you get me some bandages?
Of course. Karen looked around uncertainly.
Where are they?
Sorry, I forgot that you're just filling in for Darlene. Violet nodded toward an old 7-foot-tall wooden cabinet decorated with carved gargoyles. They're in the 3rd drawer of the monstrosity.
Is that what you call that thing?
Nance asked. Violet laughed.
Yes, it's very gothic, isn't it?
It came with the place, and it's too big to move out. But it comes in handy for storing stuff.
It sure fits nicely with a ghost legend,
Leonard said as Violet applied the bandages that Karen had handed her.
In fact, I think I'll need to work that piece into the documentary.
Lexi looked back at the monstrosity, where Karen was familiarizing herself with the contents of the drawers. She wouldn't be surprised to find a picture of it in the dictionary under Gothic. Tall, dark wood and heavily carved with gargoyles and north wind faces. It had a certain appeal to it, if you liked haunted houses, which Leonard obviously did.
There now, that should fix you up.
Violet patted Leonard's bandaged arm.
Those shouldn't trouble you too much. The scratches were superficial.
Leonard rubbed his wrist and looked around warily for Houdini.
Thanks. I'm sure I'll forget all about them once we sit down to dinner. When is dinner?
7 p.m., 2 hours. Violet nodded at a plump, middle-aged woman who was wrestling a stainless steel pot big enough to cook a rhinoceros onto the stove.
Cook is just getting ready to start.
She turned Leonard around and led him out of the kitchen. And you've already gotten a sneak peek at the dessert. Now don't tell anyone. Her voice trailed off, and Lexi turned back to her torch, switching on the flame and applying it to the top of the custard in even strokes. In the background, she could hear the cook reprimanding Karen in a harsh voice. Apparently, Karen wasn't much of a fill-in, judging by the way the cook was talking to her. Lexi felt sorry for the girl, but she had her own problems with the creme brulee. She turned back to her task, hoping that the ghost of Wellington Mance would find something to amuse himself with in another part of the mansion and leave Lexi and her torch alone.